Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello there, it's me, Richard K. Herring. That's right, I'm quoting the 1989 Oxford Review. I'm sure you got the reference. Welcome to another Alistair, but I wasn't in that one, I was just mentioned. Hello, this is a lovely podcast with the wonderful Johnny Vegas. If you listened last week, you'll know there was some question about whether he was going to make it. He did make it, a little late, but we had a very, very good time. He's a lovely, lovely man. And I know you're going to enjoy this. It was a very, very good one and lovely to be back in front of a crowd. And look, we're doing more Rahulastapas in September and October at the Leicester Square Theatre. I will be announcing the first guests very soon, initially to the monthly badgers. You can become a monthly badger at gofasterstripe.com/badges. I'll be sending out an email in advance. You'll also get a ticket link ahead of everyone else to buy your tickets before everyone else. And I think with the lineups we've got, certainly for the first three, there's a very good chance these will sell out before they get put on sale to the non-badge scum, especially given that if you already have a ticket from March and April 2020, that will roll over to the new season, and we have done our best to recreate the lineups that were curtailed by the coronavirus. So hold on to your tickets. There's some very, very good lineups. Extremely good. I mean, A grade all the way, especially in September. I haven't really got on to October yet, but I've got some good irons and some good fires. So gofasterstripe.com/badges. If you want to get that email ahead of everyone else, special ticket link, do it quick. It might be too late because they might be gone up already. I'm not sure when that's happening. But always worth becoming a badger just for that. But you get loads of other stuff as well, of course, and help us make more podcasts. And talking of podcasts, I'm a good friend with the Drunk Women Solving Crime. I'm an especially good friend with one of them, and I want to let you know that their hit podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime, is doing a London residency at the Museum of Comedy every single month, I think until December. The first one is on the 20th of July,
With dates once a month until the end of the year. Tickets and more info at drunkwomensolvingcrime.com. Do support those wonderful drunk women. You know, alcohol doesn't come cheap. So please do listen to that podcast. It's a really fantastic listen. I am a little bit partisan, but it's very good. And if it does very well, then I can retire and stop doing these. So, you know, think calm. Anyway, let's sit back, relax and enjoy Rahulastapa with the magnificent glamping site owner, it's Jonathan Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Clapham Grand. Please welcome a man who's finally got a guest for this week's show. It's Richard Herring! Thank you! Well, you're actually not as good as last week's audience. It's a rare thing to happen. Thank you for hanging around for a week. For once, it actually was a week. Welcome to Richard Herring's Levelling Sovereign Tallies podcast. I'm going to make the right... It's about making the numbers of the kings and queens, right? How come Edward the Confessor doesn't count as Edward the First? That's what I want to know. That all needs bumping up a bit, doesn't it? I'm just interested in the ones that have got eight at the moment. Add an extra one. I was at Hogwarts, the school, and I was talking to all the kids from Hufflepuff, and they call it Rahulastapa, apparently. So let's see if that's going to catch on. My only news this week, because this is the first one I've done of these this week, is I'm trying to get fit because my oncologist, I've got an oncologist, told me that I should lose some weight. Fuck off, mate. Wasn't it? He said it's nothing to do with the cancer. Just think you'll look better. So I bought a rowing machine this week. Do the old. I love rowing around. That's what I like to do. And it came on Tuesday, but they said they would deliver it to the room it went to go to, but the guy just left it at the door. So for the 4 days, it was just in the living room in the box. But on Sunday morning, me and my wife carried it up to the room it's going to go in. So. Some good exercise and haven't put it together yet, but you know, it's still pretty good, isn't it? So I'm pretty pleased the way things are going. It's nice to have an audience back. Should talk to who's this fella here? What's your name, mate? Are we allowed to talk? Is this safe to talk? Because you know, you're in more danger. I've got the high ground here, so you what do you do for a living, too? Have you been to Rahulastapa? Week before, yes. What do you do? Have I ever talked to you before? No. Good. What do you do for a living? Procurement. What have you been procuring? What have you been procuring this week? It's what? Postal services. What? So you've been buying stamps? I can do that. It's not a job, is it? It's not a job. Not a job. I can do that. Got a very lovely lady with you. What's your name? Joanne. Are you in a relationship? Married. Done well, mate. Nailed. Done well. What do you do? Same thing. You met in procurement, and then you know you procured each other, didn't you? Did you say that while the first time you're having sex, and then have a laugh? Did you? I bet you did. I don't really know what procure means. I've realised, but seem to have got away with it. Right. Look, we've been waiting, so let's crack on. Is he there? First of all, because he was having a cigarette outside. And calling his manager. I'm not sure he's even there. Maybe I should do some more. Is he there? He can't see. Shall I do some more just in case? I'll talk to some more people just in case. I think there's a ginger man here. It's hard to see in this blue light. It's a good light for a ginger, isn't it? The blue light, because it makes you look like a normal person, doesn't it? You're allowed to say that? I don't know. You're allowed to say that anymore. Andy, I don't know. Is that okay? The ginger's still all right. It's still okay. And what's your name? Chris. That's a nice name. I love red hair.
Are you a passionate lover? That's what I've found with redhead men with beards. Yep. What do you do for a living? PhD student. I can help you. I'm good at history. You doing history? Biology. Yeah, I can do a bit of biology. What's my favourite? Oh, when I used to be at, we used to do biology at school, and we had Miss Button was our teacher, and she wasn't very good at controlling the class. And every time she said hormone, we'd say don't pay her, because that was the punchline to that joke. And every time she said mitosis, we'd say you're what? But we did it every time. So try that. Try that in your lectures or your. See how it goes. Mitosis, you're what? It's a good joke. That's a biology joke. And you can do it with meiosis as well. That's the beauty of it. Is he there? We're ready to go. That was very close to doing some old material there, Andy McCage, I think, wasn't it? I don't know. Have I done that? I don't know if that counts as old material. Ah. My guest this week is probably best known for playing Milky Pims in Grimsby, the least successful Sacha Baron Cohen film. Will you please welcome the amazing Johnny Vegas? He's here. He's here. Hello. It's Johnny Vegas.
Hello.
Hiya. How are you doing?
Well, still recovering from Grimsby.
You had a little trouble getting down. You were on your campsite this morning. First,
I was out there with drill bits, yeah, and doing snag lists.
Johnny
getting
runs
it ready for our first like paying guest to, mm-hmm, stay on the bus. So it's a podcast, so yeah, we can be open and honest.
Yeah,
I'm knackered and wired, and I bought some vodka on the way down. Because I was like, why the hell am I rushing to London to do it? And you go, oh, yeah, it's Richard, okay. It's not one of them that you can pull. Tell them I'm busy. So, yes, mate, I was up till 3 a.m. I had a couple of guests on site,
right,
who wandered up, who was lovely. He's an ex-NHS, and he did medical supplies. So we had a proper good four-hour rant about... the lack of supplies, you know, during lockdown, and just got on one reel. I haven't even tested out the second bed, and Jason Manford's staying on it tonight.
Is he?
So I just wish I'd set up a webcam of him trying to get the other double bed sorted, going, Vegas, arsehole.
Well, it's very exciting.
I've literally run out the car through the stage door, and, yeah, and we're here, mate.
Well, thank you very much for making it.
Pleasure. Pleasure. You can see my eyes. Pleasure. So how are you?
I'm all right, yeah.
Taskmaster champion.
Yes, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up. In a way, weren't we all champions, Johnny?
No. No, we weren't. In a way, we found the scoring totally miscalculated. No, I'll tell you what, I think that was the least, actually, genuinely, least competitive series. Yeah. You know, you're going, there wasn't anyone specifically that you didn't want to win.
I think that's true. I think that, well, some people didn't want me to win, but apart from that, I think Daisy was amazing because, like, she was also quite heavily pregnant, I don't know if you noticed.
We just sat there waiting for the waters to break, didn't we? Every time she laughed, when she really laughed, you're just going... We were just looking at her ankles. Because who wanted to be you? Is this around? The first person who goes, medic! Towels!
But no, well, that was right at the end of the first lockdown, right? So it was the first time we'd all been out, basically, after. So we were giddy. It was just such a giddy 5 days of recording those studios, wasn't it?
It was, but I've never had so much fun being verbally abused. And I've got to guiltily admit, he went after you a lot, Greg, didn't he?
Yeah.
That bit about your ass looking like you were trying to nick a turkey. Shoplift a turkey. And we all got it. I think he's been quite light on him this series. He went at us. Like, it was almost like he'd had nobody to abuse for 6 months.
I think we all enjoyed it so much that he thought he had to go further, and really nothing he could do made any of us upset.
And without an audience, it was like, right, we've really got to ramp it up.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know about you. You know that thing where you got, we did 2 records, and I thought, I've got all my worst tasks out the way. And then it's amazing when you forget one where you go, oh, shit. Oh, no, not that.
Well, it's when you think you've done well and then you find out you haven't done well. Those are, it's worse when you come out going, yeah, I think I nailed that one. You know, there weren't... Yeah, I was just surprised how many I was did badly at and was still doing okay. Because, oh, no, it's that one. Oh, God, I was terrible.
Yeah, but it's rubbish when you're 20 minutes in of an half-hour task and you go, why? Why did you take this approach? And then you've just got to brave it out. As if... I catastrophise all the time. And my current, like, the zombie apocalypse and all of that, of, you know, I want to survive it. And then when I did Taskmaster, you go, I'm dead in a day.
You just fall over, John. You just fell over for no reason.
Falling over for no reason.
The zombies love that when people do that. That's the...
You're moving slowly. I'll give you a chance. Just fall over.
Well, they took, last time I saw Alex, he said they were going to, because we never got really to socialise, which I think most
people do.
There was like a little drink after the final one. But he said he might have us all round for like a barbecue in the Taskmaster house, but nothing's happened.
No, we'll have to build a barbecue from lolly sticks and do shit like... They're not just going to give us a barbecue, are they? If we haven't learnt by now... You're going to have to come round and go, right, you've got 20 minutes to source bricks. You get the mortar. You get the charcoal, which is up on that dangerous ledge. A barbecue at Greg's house. You're seriously going to take him up on that invite?
He did say bring the family, but then I'm wondering, actually, a family version of Taskmaster would be quite good, wouldn't it? With 6-year-olds running around.
I have a 1,000-yard Vietnam vet stir now, thanks to doing Taskmaster. Hiya, can you give me a hand with that? Will it hurt? Will it? I'm done with him. He's had his fun with me.
The glamping show, Carry On Glamping, which I've just watched all of, is fantastic. And that's like a, but that's like an extended Taskmaster task that you've set yourself to. So I don't know if people have all seen this, but basically you came up with the idea to do a glamping site based on old buses.
That's very kind of you. I got drunk and bought a bus. I didn't really come up with an idea for it. It's not the way I roll. I got hammered and I was too lazy to flick through, you know, what might be available in the UK. I bought one from Malta. I even got confused when we were picking it up and thought we were in Gibraltar. Said to Bev, I've not seen any baboons. And she's like, where do you think you are? You're only going, well, we're here to pick up the bus, aren't we? And she's like, yeah, in Malta. I have so many people in my life who talk to me like, I've got difficulties. I know how the speech slows down and they try and make eye contact with me. And all the time I just want to go, 2022 toothpicks. These things go down. I don't have any medically recognised issues. But something about me gives off that aura of there's a man who needs help with his socks. Well, because they could end up on his ears.
What this show proves is there's a great load of people who will help you achieve anything you want to achieve, however difficult you make it for them and however insane. Because, I mean, really, the first bus is the massively problem. From beginning to end, that the Malta bus is the problem all the way.
It was, and Beth goes mad at me, but from picking it up, I fell in love with it. It was, you know, it was a project. It was going to happen because I had a camper van stolen years ago. Mm. And it broke my heart. I had this camper van and I went away to write my autobiography in it.
Right.
Because I procrastinate. So when you've got a camper van, your highlights of the day are chatting to someone at the communal washing up area. And it's great. And there was a Geordie guy who turned up. I went to this quiet site, so there was no pub, you know, no distractions. Yeah. It was a good 15-minute walk to the pub. So I was like, if I get my word count in, I can go to the pub. But there's no nipping to the pub.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no coming back once you're there. It's not like at 7:30 you go, right, best get back to my word count. And he knocked on. And the weird thing is, he had you know, the kind of perm I had as Johnny Vegas, yeah, early Johnny. And he went, somebody said you were staying here. And I was like, yeah. And he went, it was like a kid asking someone if they're playing out. He went, are you coming round mine? And I thought, have I accidentally put up some kind of swingers flag or something? And I went, I can't, mate. I said, I said, I'm here working, I'm writing. And he looked crestfallen. He was like, oh, what are you doing? I went, well, I'm writing a book. And he went, well, what's it about? He got defensive, you know, like, what's it about? And I went, me? I said, I'm writing my autobiography. And he went, oh, all right then. And he left. And I swear to God, half an hour later, boom, 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 on the door. And he opened it and he went, have you finished yet? I know I'm a simple man with simple needs, but you know where you go? I was born, Edinburgh, 97. You know the rest. That typewriter. So, yeah, I had a camper van, but I bought this and just had no idea, genuinely, what I was getting myself into.
At what point did it become a TV show? It wasn't straight. So you'd done it this first, right? So it's...
I put a bid in, it was on Twitter. I took my mum away to Beaumaris, and you know the gigs that you just push to the back of your mind? Mm. I'd done a gig there years earlier, and a lass, Georgie, approached me in the pub, and she was like, you won't remember me, but you had a coffee after your gig. You know the one. You know, they go, you had a coffee in here after you died at that gig. And she worked for National Trust.
Right.
And it was suddenly like, we're looking to get into glamping. And I was sort of, and then Plum Productions got in touch going, you've announced on Twitter that you've bought this bus. What are your plans? And you're going, I haven't really got on there, but only that I'm in for the bidding. And me and Bev went to the pub and we purchased it and said, you know, there might be something in this. So it was sort of, I think throughout it, the producers said, it's almost like you'd make a great cult leader because you just draw people in,
yeah,
to ill-considered ideas and they follow you. At one point you went, and when do you give out the punch and tell them that the starship is arriving soon? And, yeah, suddenly we had a bus and it was like we were on the search for land. I'm really, what I love is it's a genuine journey. Yeah. It's not made for TV. I think the scene when I was fishing, I was at a genuine all-time low and I was really uncomfortable about putting that on camera.
Sure.
Because it was, I'd lost my mum, you know, we'd all been through COVID, it was... But now, I look at it and go, it'll be good to look back at that later in life as...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If it makes any sense that you're going, well, everybody has these moments and you come through them, but it's just weird to have it documented. I like to work in a guerrilla style of turn up, ruin shows and leave. And then just turn my phone off for 2 days.
Yeah.
And with that, it was like, it was there, it was 24/7, big commitment. But, we bought the bus, and then I still to this day maintain it should have been called What Can Go Wrong Will Go Wrong. But I've never done anything that's been so positively received.
Well, it's great, but also it is. It goes along the Johnny Vegas story of things going wrong. But at the end, it's not the Johnny Vegas story. It's because you do, with spoiler alert, it all seems to be working out. You've got everything done, and it's a massive success already. So
thank you. I'm massively relieved that all the buses have rented.
Yeah.
So nobody's lost money as a result of being part of the Vegas cult.
I went online to look just to see if you could rent them. They're absolutely can't buy. You can't rent one this year, and I don't think they've put them. I don't know if next year's gone as well.
We're not even. So, there's a couple of dates in June that we're about to make available.
Okay.
Now that we've got the carbon monoxide monitors fitted, which I wouldn't fork out for if I was lending her out to family and friends. But when it's paying members of the public, you've got to. Apparently there's guidelines.
And it's beautiful, though, as well, and that lovely sort of statue in the middle of it, but you've also got plans for lots more art and stuff, so that artistically
that.
It's a
beautiful... I love that statue. That's my favourite. You only actually see somebody, you go, that does class as a public work of art. Mm-hmm. And I've got a thing... I've got a project in development for doing a piece of art, a big piece of public art in my hometown.
Right.
Because, you know, when you go, life is good, people seem to not hate you, how can we turn that on its head and you go, make some public art? And I've everyone going, did you make that, you wanker? What's it meant to be?
So is that going to go in St. Helens?
What do you call that? Yeah.
But they do love you there, so I'm sure that they will love whatever you put.
I love my hometown because people were sort of saying, you'll have to leave. And I've spent a lot of time in London. I'm away with work a lot, but I've never... I had that sort of resentment, and I think they know that my pride in where I live, you know, it's not done for showbiz purposes. No. I've always been treated right there, and it does feel like my home. And when you're younger, you go, can't wait to get out and explore. And as you get older, you go, when I'm not working, I want to be where I feel at rest, and it's there. But I am buying a boat. I'm buying a boat. All right.
Are you going to take someone with you who knows about boats, Johnny? Take someone with you?
No, but you know what? Coming out of lockdown, you know that thing of... It really was. With losing my parents, you start going, if not now, when?
Yep.
And you start looking for these opportunities and you start going, what's the... And I've found, no offence to them, the cheapest boatyard in Britain. In the northwest. And it's only... 160 quid a year for mooring and winter storage. And I want to do a Malcolm Hardy.
Yeah, don't do the full Malcolm
rowing
Hardy.
Rowing out, I know. No, but they wait, you've got to be careful of the tides rowing out to it. Yeah. I'm only going to moor it. I'm not going to sail it anywhere.
Okay.
I'm not going on a SIG run. But I want to do some Hemingway-esque writing on it. Okay. What could go wrong?
You still get a little Geordie man knocking on the door going,
because the guy went, look, if you don't ask us about the tides, you will end up in the Isle of Man in a rowboat. And you've caught the sun on your campsite, so I could be mistaken for someone fleeing a different country. I don't mean that in a way, I just mean it's like... Johnny, you've changed as you've grown in confidence. People aren't used to seeing me. I'm not used to things going right. The campsite and everything else is like... But I am. I don't know. It's a weird sort of determination that I've never felt for a long time to go, well, do it. Because the worst thing that could happen is it fails.
Of course. And I think, you know, but your enthusiasm... I mean, I love it because in the show, it just looks like everyone you meet and everything you see... You go, this is the most amazing thing. You know, you're shown two or three locations in the end, and each one's, oh, this one's perfect, this is amazing, it's so beautiful. I mean, they all are beautiful, but that enthusiasm and that love for beauty and art and people just comes across. So it's, you know, people will want to make that come true for you. So it's.
Well, that's why I'm so. It's really weird talking in a positive tone. I'm still recovering from your face you pulled when I said that thing about the Isle of Man, me going, oh, shit. It was not meant as a racist comment. It just meant It looked like I was escaping one country to go to another. I was leaving the UK for tax purposes, and I end up at the Isle of Man in a rowboat. I don't think they're going to believe that I'm some kind of millionaire that wants to hide his money. I just want to clarify that. There was a lovely shifting gear on your face of reverse. Oh, my God, I didn't think Johnny was the part of that club. And you go, I'm not. I'm anti-Brexit. I don't mind saying it. I've had some wonderful arguments in car parks. I've told enough people the pricks. You know, folk who were suddenly going, oh, we can't get to Spain. And you go, what did you think was going to fucking happen? I forgot where I am now. I'm just in a tailspin of. I'm thinking about. I'm lost at sea in my head on the rowboat. Whatever, miss the Isle of Man.
Well, the other thing I'll about.
I'm not being lifted off a boat by a chopper, looking like a starfish. Still pissing in my own hand and trying to drink it. Screaming at a tennis ball, going Wilson. But
the other thing I want to say about the show, and you did mention you lost your mum, but your mum's in the first episode, so it's a lovely testament to have her there. Although she's
that was a tough watch.
Yeah, I bet it was.
That was kind of it brought it back. She did Mrs. Brown's Boys, and that was a big sort of. She kind of went to that level of local celeb. She opened an M&S shop.
Right.
And she was that's all she ever wanted for presents was gift vouchers for M&S. Seriously, she was the queen of Perduna or whatever it is. And I used to take her shopping. And when she did the show, I love because there is that real mix there of I've always been supported by my parents. You know, imagine coming home going, I'll go do pottery. From a very classic working class family. The grief my dad got, and you know, the people going, pay my fucking taxes so you can make ashtrays. As if that's all that ceramicists do. Father, I'm going away to make ashtrays, which will soon be outlawed in a few years, but don't worry. I'll export them. And that thing of like, idea of me being a dirty, filthy comedian.
I know. Well, it was so funny because she really says she doesn't like your comedy but won't go and see your comedy.
So she's just decided.
And that you should be
an
actor.
I'm a dirty, filthy comedian.
It's funny, but it also reminds me of my granddad, who was again quite supportive of me. But he sat down with his friends to listen to my first radio show, which was Lionel Nimrod, which was on Radio 4, but they all listened in silence to it. And then one of his friends turned to him and said, oh, what a waste of a good education. I think it sort of broke his heart, you know, because he really supported me and very, very, very proud of me. But then all his friends turned again. So it's the same thing. Your mum felt like, people are judging it.
We were driving down today and Love on the Rocks came on. And you go, I'm trying to... I was in the car with. Said I sang this at our local Catholic Men's Society Club, and I really went for it. You know, the first thing I felt like I sang it like I was battling against the elements. See how they really need you. And at the end of it, just abject silence. And my mum went, well, you've ruined that. Sit down in front of the entire club. But this is a woman who came out with a bin bag on. You know, like when your parents thought, that's our punks dress. Yeah. You know, they go to a fancy dress and they go, I know what they do. They wear bin bags. And you go, they don't. And she did her hair up with soap. And she came on a tricycle to a Gary Glitter track. Now, that's acceptable. But me giving an earnest rendition of Neil Diamond, Love on the Rocks, was like, you've brought shame on family. Sit down. Sit down, and you're not staying for last orders.
Hold up. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
But I sneaked off. I never really told the family when I started doing stand-up. Right. And it's a bit like Les Dawson kept diaries, but he hid them under the bed because he was mortified that the family would know that he had an ambition to write. Right. You know, yeah. And it was that same thing of going, I think I announced it in the pub, but I didn't tell the family because I was like, I don't know where it's going. Sure. But I'm drawn to the, as we discussed before, the arena of the unwell. You know, there's a place for us. But the minute you show it to the family, we had a do, and they went, I'd done about 10 gigs, and they went, why don't you get up? And I totally destroyed this engagement party in a rugby club. Because I couldn't get into anyone. And it was the stories they already did. And you go, do you know my dad had my pet rabbit? And they go, yeah, move on. So it was almost like a guilty secret.
Yeah.
When I started, and it was almost that thing of going, I never resented them not getting what I did. Because it's like I was always grateful, and it really was that I could go back home. I was supported, even when they didn't get what I was doing.
Yeah.
It was still like you can always come home, and it was a bit of a bless you. And I think it really caught them off guard when it became a viable. Do you know what I mean?
I
think where they're going, what, you're earning money from that? You're doing well from that. But bless them, they always, you know, whatever stick my dad took in the pub and whatever grief or shame my mum had, that was the whole thing about the acting, is like anything acceptable. There was a day, you know that bit where you know with your manager that you're coming to a natural end?
Yeah.
I was with Dylan Moran, and he went, oh, you, I think it was Leicester Festival, and I went, I'm sponsored by Hobnobs. And Dylan went, fuck off. And I went, no, and I showed him my poster, and he just pulled his face like he didn't want to be anywhere near me. And my manager went, honestly, I had some such ropey deals I was, like, dragged into. I was sponsored by a shampoo. And the guy, no, because it was like, it can't replace lost follicles, but it can thicken and strengthen the ones you've still got. And you've seen us perform.
Yeah.
So you know that bit where you go, I don't quite know what's going to happen. And I've got this guy going, no. Draw attention to it, but don't make fun of the bald, because we're not looking to ostracise them. So gently blend the product in. You know, I don't know. And you just sat there going, Johnny inside is going, kill him. Kill him. He must. And I ended up just washing a bloke's hair on stage, doing the worst devil. But the day your manager comes in and goes, hey, good news, play your cards right. You could be the next face of Hobnobs. And he walks out and you just start crying. They wanted me to go out with a small tray like an usherette,
right,
and give biscuits out
during
before
your
the gig.
All this is during your stand-up.
Before you do the stand-up gig. That's when it all went south with PG Tips. They went, oh, we've got this giant cardboard teapot. We want you to drive it around the country. Fuck. Let's get this straight. You want to give Johnny a driving licence and a giant cardboard teapot to genteelly hand out tea bags whilst driving and convince people that the shape of the bag makes any fucking difference whatsoever. I had to do an interview. Like, they wanted me to do an interview in character. And you go, well, if you want me to do it in character... To me, it's a bit like The Butcher Boy. You know the book? His mum's died, he's had a breakdown, and he's created this puppet monkey that he lives with. Because right. He can't deal with the grief. And they were like, oh, no, I don't think that'll fly. And you go, I know, but... He's Al. He's a bloke who wants to put a digger in a cup of tea. And you want me to extend that as a character? I'll really have to work on this. Can I not just do it as Johnny? So, yeah, it was. It's a shame they're not here to see it, because yeah. I don't think my mum grasped it. But that was a really earnest point in the show of going, we have, as a family, always worked for other people. And I know technically I'm self-employed, but, you know, when you go... It's really hard, like, 10 years down the line, where you go, I had that idea. You're not being bitter, but you go, I just didn't act on it.
Yeah.
And when you come that other side of 50, you go, you haven't got the time to muck about with
yeah.
that you had before.
You're right.
So you go, if it's going to happen, it has to happen now.
Sure.
Don't wait for 10 years and go, oh, I had that idea of putting helicopters in trees. People falling out of them and getting sued.
Well, it's great. It's a lovely... And I think, well, it's also the... I mean, I know a bit about Bev, who's your assistant. Or,
yeah. Everybody knows Bev. Yeah. Everybody loves Bev.
You yeah. Know, you but it's great to see her in the show, because, like, not everyone in the world knows about it, but it's... But, you know, the friendship and relationship between you two, in that she's... You know, she works for you and, you know... And,
challenging behaviour. Yeah. That's the quote of
it. And does a lot for you to keep the... You know, she understands you and she understands where you need... some assistance and where you need to be encouraged and where you need to be discouraged, but she lets you get fly with things, doesn't she? And that's what I think a lot of people wouldn't understand. They go, oh no, you know, they would immediately shut this down and go, no, you're not going to do this because it's going to lose your money. But she's going, yeah, go for it. And it's great to see that.
She doesn't absolutely go, yeah, go for it. She just goes into another room. I hear this muted scream into her hand. And then she comes back in and goes, well, if you think it's for the best. No, I'm thrilled for her because it's a big thing to put yourself on camera
yeah.
if it's not been part of your career plan.
Sure.
And I do think, like you say, everyone who knows her knows that it's that classic, talk to the organ grinder, don't bother ringing, you know, the monkey. It's... And it's just come across so well. It's that thing of I don't know why she puts up with me, but she does. I've always had that feeling of I genuinely couldn't function without her. Because she is we joke about me being the ideas man. And her being, you know, the one that goes, right, this is like assisted living, you know. I come in, what's he going to have been up all night, you know, as an insomniac? When she comes in and you go, tinfoil hats for UFOs. She gets a barrage of ideas. And then she goes, do you actually, you've got to do that interview at 2:00? And you go, I don't want to. And don't have to, and you can't make me. And then she sits me down and makes me. She's incredible, and she's honestly the most giving human being, be it her own family, be it my family. I could only, after I lost my dad, maintain my career, because she's like a sibling within the family, and the way she looks after my mum and took my mum, you know what I mean? There were things where you go, I can't be away from home. And she's phenomenal, but anyone in the industry knows Bev.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they talk about Bev before they talk about me. But I don't mind, because she is fantastic like that. I don't...
But it's just that symbiosis and the, you know, and the friendship of it is great throughout, because, you know, you get her, you've got a surprise for her that she doesn't know about, that's, again, quite out of character, because you've got to do something quite organised and, you know, and keep it from her, which is...
That was the biggest, hardest nightmare. I would rather have an affair than do that. But I'm not a good liar. That's my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't. And driving that back, to run out of petrol in a dogging spot, genuinely. And I had to go in the woods for a wee, and this bloke came in with the camera phone. And I was like, what are you doing? He went, I just want a picture. And I'm just giving it a shake. And you go, okay, can we do... I don't want to become synonymous with... this earlier, and then we broke down really close to home in Runcorn, and there was like this gaggle of gals over the road, about 15 of them, going, I'm sure it's him. I'm sure it's him. And I'm hiding behind the bus, because the minute they take it's like buying a gift for your partner. You buy him something, and somebody takes a picture without you knowing, they post it online, and they know what they're getting for Christmas.
Yep.
Keeping it a secret was the hardest. I was literally like doing a Benny Hill on my own, running around this bus, avoiding photos and everything to get it back. And she knows where I am absolutely every... It's like she is like... It's like having a, you know, ankle bracelet on. Like I'm on, you know, community service. And... But getting it back and seeing her, seeing the genuine... Seeing her lost for words, I could hear the wheels turning, and yeah, she couldn't get the words out. It was lovely. And I had genuinely wanted to say, like, and I know it's in the show, but like, I won't lie, the last 5 years have been, I think, the toughest of my life.
Sure.
And without her, I would have probably retired from public life, and I can't honestly say wherever I'd have ended up.
Yeah.
So it was nice. But I'm always worried of putting that on camera and it looking sycophantic. But it wasn't, you know what I mean?
It really wasn't.
It was just it was part of the journey and going... We were laughing the other day, we went, well, the show's gone out now, we're selling it. You're not keeping it. She actually thinks it's a gift. I've had offers. The irony is, what my bus cost, what Patricia cost me, compared to something that I bought in a car park that I could flip the next day without doing anything to it. I think it's justice on Bev's behalf that hers is worth. And now she's going to drive it to motor show home and conventions and find a husband.
Well, then you'll be in trouble. She won't look after you if she's got a husband.
I know, we've said it'd be like Partridge. You know, when Lynn gets a boyfriend, I don't like the way you speak to her. And you go, I think you're... Oh, all right. Her ex used to call me Partridge.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to have an assistant. I don't think I can afford to have an assistant, but it must be nice to have someone doing everything for you.
Yeah, but that's why I can only afford one pair of trainers a year. You make sacrifices when you get an assistant.
It's definitely for you.
You know what I mean? You don't just rub a bottle and they pop out. No, we were, and she did bully me as a child.
Right.
When I delivered Avon for my mum in one of them tartan bags on wheels. So emotionally, she does owe me something back. And when you pull her up on it, she goes... Yeah, but you were weird. You were weird. She was the cock of a school.
Was she?
She broke a lad's arm. Yeah. Don't touch her up in the ice cream queue, I'm telling you. She's got a vicious right hook. No, she does. She absolutely, I think, gets me like no other person, beyond my family, beyond anyone. And she knows when to sort of gently back off, and she knows, you know, when to go, get off your ass and come on.
Yeah, it's all, but it's all so clear. I mean, that's what's great about, that's why it works so well, that documentary, because it's, you know, it's about the human relationships in it, and it's all really apparent, and it's great. It's really lovely to see it, and it's lovely to have. I'm sure something will go terribly wrong. You'll probably electrocute every single person on your campsite and kill them, and then we'll be back to.
No, because I'm not used to such genuinely overwhelming positivity towards somebody.
But it's all right. It's all right for things to go okay.
I know, but getting you. I mean, that point when she arrives. And I'm going, oh, she'll probably fall off the side of the bus. And then, she hits the barn. And they go, Bev actually going, stop catastrophizing. And then the worst happens.
I know.
But it's a defense mechanism, isn't it? And I've always had it.
Yeah.
Fear for the worst. And then whatever happens can't hurt you.
But then the worst does seem to happen. So
I know.
Maybe.
Then, and you worst your life, fearing for the worst. But you go, that postman's not going to get the envelope, that package through the door. Then I'm going to, chase him for the package and he'll not see me and he'll reverse and I'll get crushed under his van. That's my daily thought routine. I need a bigger envelope. I need a bigger letterbox. I don't want to get crushed by a post office van. And you go, how many people have died being crushed by a post office van? Well, then I'll be the first and they'll keep talking about it for all the wrong reasons. Johnny Vegas was killed chasing a duvet cover. I don't want to be that guy.
But it is also who you are. It's why, the way your brain works and the reason, you need Bev is because you're you. And if you weren't you, we wouldn't have what all the other stuff you give us. That's the way your brain works. So you kind of, but I've always thought of that about you because there's sadness in your act. But, I know that, that's not all you, but some of it's you. And there's a feeling of, and I think this show sort of has this feeling of growing up and thinking a bit about all the stuff you've been through. It's okay to be happy, and I think
it's a really good point, and I think it is embracing going, look, take this, put it in the bank.
Yeah.
Because you'll need it.
Yeah.
When something, genuinely does come along and rock you.
Yeah.
It's okay to have good stuff to fall back on.
Of course, but also as a comedian, you're thinking, my life needs to. You're almost it's almost pushing it that way because I need this. It needs if things go wrong, then that fits into the character.
Got material.
Yeah, and it's material.
Whereas things go right, people go, "What? You've just come out here? It's not an AGM meeting for shareholders of Johnny Vegas." Hi, hey, didn't we do great with the campsite?
But, Johnny, enough will go wrong.
I know.
So it will definitely
I've just realised now, I found an old, I'm a bit of a magpie, and I found this old pop bottle, and I know that where I've left it, somebody's got a step on it. Broken glass, all of that. What was it doing there by the stairs? I bought them really cheap solar lights, so you don't fall off the decking.
Right.
Only one of them lights up. But I've left them because I think they look good. They don't serve a purpose. He's all for show.
It's all going to be fine. Well, there's something you said. I think I can't remember where I saw this, but you maybe it was in the show, maybe it was in an article, but you said, you're so famous now. And what's interesting about you is I think you're across the board, right, that you can do Mrs. Brown's Boys, you can do... those sort of the Avid Merrion thing, that panel show, which is on one side, but you also can do Grayson's Art Club and you can do these kind of more thoughtful shows, and yet you're sort of accepted everywhere. So you're like, everybody knows you now. I mean, partly, there was a thing you said about how you miss being able to observe because you're all, and this is the thing I've often thought as a writer, when if you become too famous, then everyone's looking at you in the pub or everyone's looking at you in the cafe you can't, you can no longer observe the world.
I miss that and I, it's an odd thing of looking at, sounds incredibly selfish, but part of COVID, I've never, everybody's got a COVID story, but you're going, I was due to do a series of dates and they kept getting pushed back and you go, Yeah, I can't. I think primarily a lot of my stand-up was based on observing.
Yeah.
Of just sitting and watching. And when you're denied that, when people are watching you...
Yeah.
You lose that ability to be lost in a crowd. And for me as Michael and not as Johnny...
Yeah.
That's what I love. I love seeing people being at the best, at the worst. And it's odd now to go, what will I write about in this show? I'm nervous about saying something... Do I let Johnny off the leash? You know, could I get him back in the bottle if I did? I don't want to be completely Johnny. I think I've moved on a little bit. But then are people coming expecting something outlandish? I used to write stand-up, but I used to write it and happily give it to Johnny and let Johnny just go, no, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So I would work on what I thought were gags, but Johnny would play the room however he saw best and fit, and he might take one idea out of it, he might not. So I'm really nervous, and I'm really nervous about being taken out of context. What do you do? You know what I mean?
I do.
If one phrase that you say is taken in the wrong way, is that a career ender? Is it this? When you're being ironic, or you're being... So it's a massive... It's on the horizon, and I've got to deal with it. But in a good way, it's going to make me sit down and think about stand-up and think about where Johnny is.
Yeah.
And where I am. And what I want to do with comedy. And I won't lie, acting is a real comfort zone because it's written.
Yeah.
You can turn up and you can ad-lib with it, depending on what production you're... You know, you can mess about on the day. But it's nothing like the pressure of...
No.
...of being Johnny again.
Yeah.
And for the first time, and I suppose with the glam sight and stuff, you go, he's always fought me battles for me. He has.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds... So, I don't think I'm brave enough to do it without him. But I know when I turn up at gigs and I try and do more written material, I've always kind of gone, oh, no, I'm going to fail. Right, go on, you do it. And he goes out and he does something that I would never come up with. I did. When I brought the book out, I honestly thought I were going to get sectioned because it was trying to explain having a genuine alter ego.
Yeah.
But it's a comfort zone.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand it. I mean, as a comedian, that you understand it anyway because it's sort of... All comedians are, to some extent, not themselves on stage. I've been doing loads of ventriloquism and stuff in lockdown, which is, you know, and literally... The
no,
puppet.
That's a step towards madness.
That's crazy. But the dummy has ideas that I haven't had.
I know puppeteers.
Yeah.
And it's that thing where a lot of them wouldn't say boo to a goose. And the minute they stick the fist up something's ass, they get really cocky. They get really sort of... They'll ask you, Podge and Rodge in Ireland.
Right.
You do that show.
Yeah.
It's vicious. But I know the two lads are so shy away from me. And you're chatting to them. And then the minute you get on the show, you go, yeah. You want to go under the desk and go, you wanker. You said you wouldn't mention me failed marriage.
I don't think you can worry about... I know it is a worry about, like, when you do a show like you do and where it is, like... Not it's sort of out of your control that someone might take something out of context, but I don't think you can because anyone going to the show knows what they're getting. And,
no,
you know.
I think it's that it's a thing of going, I don't want to go unprepared, and what I either do is take a bold new step and go, it's going to be more Michael than Johnny.
But that would be interesting. You can do that.
I know it'd be interesting, but it's not interesting when there's a silent room going, what the fuck was he thinking? Has he really just told us about his trip to B&Q? I remember years ago, and it's not, you know, I'm not into pulling up comics on what they're doing, why they choose to do it, but what's his name? You know, No Cure for Cancer.
Yeah. Oh,
God, what's the comic? See, I'm getting to
the because I'm thinking Bill Hicks, but
him,
it's the other guy.
The one from The Thing. This is what I've started doing. I used to go...
Dennis Leary.
In from Titanic. Now, I can't even remember the film title, so I go, him from The Thing.
Is it Dennis
with
Leary?
With the Oscar, or was it a BAFTA?
They'll tell you someone.
No, oh, right, it'll come to, the thing is, it'll come to, I've stopped using my phone.
Okay.
To Google. And in a desperate attempt to hold on to
it. It is Dennis Leary,
Dennis
Leary.
It is Dennis Leary. And then I watched him do a show, and it was so subtle, and actually, it was a lovely show. But I remember sitting there, you know that weird thing of like audience ownership? Of I went expecting something,
yeah.
So I was determined not to like the Dennis Leary, you know, point this.
Yeah.
And years later, you go, he had some lovely material in it, but I was like, I wanted him to rant, and I wanted him for that. And I know that most people want Johnny to turn up and be pure chaos. But I ain't pure chaos anymore, and Johnny is harder and harder.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a stern letter from Alton Towers, you've got to start rethinking how you approach things.
Well, there's definitely a way to have both. There's definitely a way to have both.
Nice, you know, taking selfies on roller coasters. Dropping your phone. I'll have you know, my uncle went on a... Sorry, no, it's a story. It's not required for this. He was assisted living and he went on, you know, the one the Boy Scouts went on in Blackpool, the corkscrew. Not the corkscrew, the... No, no, I'm talking years earlier when all the Boy Scouts had the packed lunch. The revolution. Right, he was in assisted living and he went on that and he lost his teeth. And because he'd been in rougher care homes, he didn't want to tell him, he thought he'd get in trouble, so he nicked somebody else's false teeth. And they were massive and they didn't fit. And they came in the room and they went, Tommy, have you got Elsie's teeth? And he went, no. Couldn't even say no. And they went, Tommy, we've got spurs. Nobody will hurt you anymore. And, yeah. So, you know what? I either see it as it's terrifying or it's a really good opportunity to come back to stand up and see how I want to approach it as an adult.
Yeah.
My ex had this lovely idea of if you could go back and sit one exam, reset an exam.
Right.
Which one would you want to reset?
I dream all the time about resetting exams. I wouldn't want to do
no,
it.
But I'd probably.
I don't know. I mean, I'd probably like to. You know, I'd like to do my university exams and have done some work rather than.
That was me. I screwed it through, but you go. I'd love to do English again.
Right.
Because I'd love to sort of honestly say what I think about the text.
Yeah.
And about the writing and not learn enough quotes to just get through it.
Yeah.
And see if I did worse now that how I interpret it as an adult.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Shakespeare? Not look like pretend you've thought about Shakespeare. Because it's not something you go out corner with your mates having a fag going, what do you think about the Capulets? I mean, are they arseholes? And your mate's going, well, fuck, I think they overreacted. It's not something you really get to discuss outside of school, is
no,
it?
No.
But over time, you look at it and you go, right, it's this, you know, and I've made my opinion. And it's not like a working class thing of setting out to hate Shakespeare, because I don't. I actually love it, but you go, I have different thoughts and feelings on it. Would I be punished at an exam for really expressing what I feel about him? So to me, that was a fascinating idea as a show is. I've matured. And what I end up doing with the stand-up that I do is, do I write a pure crowd pleaser or do I try and move it on? And I always thought it was your job, even if you suffer for it, is to move comedy on a bit.
I think so, but I honestly think whatever you do is going to be moving things. I don't think you're never an act I've looked at and thought, oh yeah, he's coasting, you know, he's doing the obvious stuff
don't,
there.
Don't put me in that safe place, because I'll just be sat on stage eating my own feces going, well, Richard Herring said it's my job.
Yeah. That's fine though, that's all right.
All of me! Why not take all of me?
whatever you do is going to be good. I can absolutely guarantee it, because you, that, the way your brain works isn't like the way, you know, that's
yeah,
it.
But when you get a call at 3 a.m. going, tour's cancelled, cheers, mate. Thanks for your unnecessary encouragement. It is a weird one, stand-up, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very much... There's days I miss it, like you won't believe. Or, you know, you sit in a gig, and then there's days where I'm back to... Because I've been away from it so long, it's like... I feel like an open spot again.
Yeah. It's hard. If you're away, I've been away from it from like only three or four years, and it's, you know, long time.
And I find it really odd when folk talk to you going, they didn't even know I did stand up, and so my mum announced that I was a filthy, dirty fucking end of the pier. Dirty, filthy stand up. I'm so tempted to call it that.
I think you should.
Yeah, because that'll attract the right crowd, won't it? Dirty, filthy, hurtful, misogynistic stand-up.
Oh, man. Well, look, it's...
Because when I did it... All I ever wanted was... The joy I got was messing with the crowd, and if there was somebody in the crowd that was an arsehole, it was great to deconstruct them. From working behind the bar...
Yep.
Johnny'd have great fun in going, well, let's talk about you. But genuinely, the overwhelming thing I ever wanted from Johnny was people to go, I came here and life isn't going to plan, but I'm not him. I'm going home feeling pretty good about myself. Now, there's a man who's tortured. I have 2 kids, one of them's a dick. I have a favourite child. Do you know what I mean? I have a woman who puts up with me, or a man, a partner, and you just go, I'm not Johnny Vegas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yeah, it's going to be a struggle, but what I really want to do with it is come out with confidence and go, well, if I do it as Michael, I'd love to. Because when I've directed, I'm very really confident as Michael. Mm-hmm. I'm very sort of sorted in what I want, but I want to be as confident whether I hand it entirely over to Johnny or I do it as Michael or I try and mix it up. He's to come out and go, well, this is me now, and I have changed, I have moved on a bit.
Yeah,
you know, I have not started demanding. I want a ladder. I want a ladder.
I mean, the problem is, you know, you can grow up, but however old you are, Johnny's always going to be funny. Like, it'll be that's what I sort of feel about comedy. Like, in a way, you want guys to be in the 60 or 70, because then behaving
like... still out playing by the rules.
Yeah, yeah, because that's when it's really funny. That's why Morecambe and Wise is as funny as it is, because they're old, you know, to us. They were old. When we were kids. Now they're about our age. I think I'm about as old as Eric Morecambe got now. But, you know, it's that old people behaving wrongly.
Yeah, misbehaving.
Yeah.
And doing that thing of going.
So it'll still.
And I think comics, it's always. I think it's an absolute necessity to send up the things we think but we don't say.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Is. And without being too American going, yeah, is it just me? Or, you know what I mean? The other day. Although you've got to. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but we were in Kilkenny and that American comedian who was trying out new material but hadn't written any punchlines. Right. And it was just 20 minutes of anger, but with no solutions. And she kept going back to her notes and she was like, bridges! What the fuck? What gives with bridges? And I'm stood with Ross Noble and Ross Noble's going, it's an engineering feat that allows you to cross a body of water. She just, her set list was just hating random things and asking us to give her solutions for it. And it wasn't like, oh, I drove across a bridge and it broke down and my, you know, my stepdad was a wanker and it was all bridges! Fucking bridges! And then silence. And fucking bridges goes back to a list. Fountains! What gives? And I don't want it to be like that. You know what I mean? If it's going to be more written, I want it to have a conclusion.
Okay.
Not just, I've come out here to argue about bridges.
I quite like the bridges. I'd like you doing the bridges and having no solutions.
What gives me bridges? Yeah, and then and get a response like that, you know. It's an engineering feat that crosses the body of water. You wanker! How dare you? Oh, I bet you was in the army, wouldn't you? And the worst thing is, it normally comes out that he's like, yeah, wasn't it? And you go, right, let's discuss Iraq, and I'll talk myself into a dark hole.
Well, it's going to be whatever happens, Johnny.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Well, it'll happen. It's going to, you know, it'd be great to see you back doing it. I think your mum's wrong. God bless her. She was wrong about that. But it's also, you've done lots of acting, which is what she wanted you to do. So she should be happy with that as well.
Yeah.
So that's,
she is. It was stuff she could. Well, you know the hobnobs.
Yeah.
She got a massive box of free biscuits and she made a point of going round the bingo and handing them out, going, courtesy of my son. He got them for nows. It could be the new face of Hobnobs. And that was actually the first time that she saw me as being a successful comedian. She didn't read reviews, but when she got free shit, it was like, he's doing very well for himself. Not bad for a failed potter. And a bloke who denied his chance in the priesthood. Enjoy a biscuit on the Pennington family.
Oh,
and not
goodness.
Just one, like a full packet each table.
Look, I'll ask you one more question. Let's see where we go, and then we should let the good people of this theatre go out.
I should fake a proper revelation. You know, where you go. Well, I did lose a toe in lockdown. I'm glad you asked. It was my little toe. It's a circulatory thing. I do walk a bit to the left now. I have to, you know, plan out how I'm going to go to the shops. Bouncing off walls. But it was my own fault. I think something like 30 days of meals for one, it'll do it to you. Without any fresh fruit or veg. It started to blacken. I should have rang the helpline, but I just thought there's people worse off than me. And then, lo and behold, it just fell off. Sorry.
I think you know what. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the amazing Johnny Vegas. Thank you so much. We're back here next week with David Baddiel and Izzy Sooty. So come again. Thank you very much.
Sorry, mate, did I go on too much?
You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Johnny Vegas. Thank you to Scant Regard for providing us with music. I am also indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, and I'm indebted to my friend and director and all-round good egg, Chris Evans, not that one. I'm also somewhat indebted to Kathleen McKeegan from Rahulastapur, rahulastapur.com, who allows me to do my fantastic research about what I've asked the guests already. It's a very fascinating website. Do check it out. And thank you to Kathleen for her brilliant work on that. Thank you as well, of course, to everyone at the Clapham Grand, Ali Wolf and all of the gang for your fantastic hospitality over these last few weeks. Hopefully we'll be back doing some more in the future. And hopefully with a non-socially distanced audience. It would be lovely to fill that grand theatre with Rahulastapur, Rahulastapur fans. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Remember to become a monthly badger, GoFasterStripe.com/badges. Get that guest info ahead of the curve. Really good shows coming up in September and October. Hopefully all non-socially distanced as well. And, you know, check us out. Keep listening. Thanks for all your kind words. And we'll see you very soon. See you next week. Look out for Retro Rahulastapur on Fridays.
See you guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.